So you might think of today as Sampler Sunday. So we're really glad for our youth, kind of some talented youth that have performed for us earlier in the service with this extended skit. But in light of that, it didn't seem well advised to launch into a full-blown sermon, complete with altar call, like we normally do. It has been said that the mind cannot absorb more than the seat can endure. So you'll notice instead of sermon in your bulletin, it says reflection. So you might think of this as something of a field trip report. On April 4th, I ventured to the National Mall in Washington, D.C. to participate in an event that was billed as a rally to end racism, scheduled to coincide with the anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, we periodically hear about protests and marches these days in response to various injustices, but this event was unique in as much as it was entirely faith-based. So as people of faith then, what is the status of the cause that Martin Luther King gave his life for? As people of faith, what are we called to do to keep moving forward? This rally was sponsored by the National Council of Churches, of which our denomination is a member, and it was also scheduled to launch a new truth and racial justice initiative that they're starting. Kind of rattling off some of the supporters, there was the National African American Clergy Network, the Mennonite Central Committee, Franciscan Action Network, Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism, Conference on National Black Churches, World Council of Churches, Religions for Peace, Sojourners, Parliament of the World's Religions, Islamic Society of North America, Repairs of the Breach, the Center for Religions, Rights, and Social Justice, just to name a few. There were numerous speakers, mostly Christian, but not all. There was a powerful message by a rabbi as well as an imam. Well-known gospel singers that I'd never heard of. And some activist-oriented celebrities. Now, kind of in the spirit of to know your audience, I wanted to pause even in this introduction to address those who might be thinking, I'm tired of hearing about racism, I'm not a racist. Now, I'm sure you're all very nice people. And so I'm not going to speak to you in shrill tones. You may indeed warmly greet a person of color as you pass them in the supermarket, and God bless you. What we are not speaking about here is your individual attitudes. We are speaking about the systems that we are all a part of. While we might be prone to avert our eyes, we are speaking of systems that have resulted in a greater wealth disparity between whites and blacks now than there was 50 years ago. We are speaking about systems that, despite the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the 1968 Supreme Court order to dismantle segregated schools, we have drifted back into a situation somehow where our schools now are as segregated as ever. We're talking about systems that lead to a prison population that is 35% African American, whereas the overall population of the United States is 12 or 13% African American. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. I know you're all really nice people, but there's something pretty strange going on here that is categorically not reflecting kingdom values. So with that as the backdrop, the tagline, if you will, of this rally was ACT Now. ACT, A-C-T, with the A standing for awaken, the C standing for confront, and the T for transform. Awaken ourselves to the truth that racism is ever present, deeply rooted in American culture, and profoundly damaging to our communities. Confront racism, speak truth to ourselves, our communities and institutions, and stand against injustice. Transform the hearts, minds, and behaviors of people and structures that shape society. Theologian Reverend Dr. Franklin Richardson, who is also the chair of the Conference of National Black Churches, said at the rally, "When black and brown people seeking a better life in our country are cast as drug dealers and rapists, that stain on our country is made visible. We cannot continue business as usual. We cannot wait any longer. We must move beyond our guilt." Eradicating racism means more than just changing personal attitudes, said many of the speakers at the rally. It also means challenging and changing the racism woven into the theology, system, structures of society, and most of all, even the church. Jim Wallace, is author and founder of Sojourners, said it is a time for white Christians to tell the truth to God. He said, "Without confession to the sin of racism, people who call themselves white Christians themselves will never be free. Today we confess the sins of white colonialism and white racism that helped nail Jesus Christ to the cross. This is our confession during this holy season. White Christians, since the founding of America, have been living a lie. We reject the resurgence of white nationalism, including in the highest level of power in this capital city." Our own Reverend Dr. Herbert Nelson, who's stated clerk of the PCUSA, yay home team, contended that Christianity is complicit in oppression against African Americans. He said, "I'm tired of talk. I'm tired of all the promises. I'm here because the church I serve has been complicit in the history of racism. It's a time for us to start truly carrying the strength of a community against racism." He continued, "Public schools have failed minority students who find themselves with an absence of possibilities after years of being neglected by teachers and poor school districts." In a video message, Reverend William Barber said the USA must deal with the real Martin Luther King, the Dr. King who came here not just for kumbaya, but for jobs and justice. Rally goers emphasized the importance of churches in helping people and communities develop the moral capacity to not just fight racism, but to go further and build a society that honors the dignity of every person. Reverend Dr. Jennifer Harvey, professor at Drake University, urged people to explore the difference between reconciliation and repair. She said, "Our own history makes clear that that's not the question that our brothers and sisters of colors have been asking," referencing a number of incidents since 1960 in which white churches failed to fight for equality. She said, "They're not asking for more togetherness. They've been organizing and insisting on justice." And Harvey asked white people, how they were fighting to end oppression, and criticized the Trump administration for continued attacks on minorities. She said, "Dear white Christians, now what? It feels right to stand in this place just minutes away from this very, very white house. Muslims are being banned, Latino families are being terrorized. It feels good to be here because the gospel calls us to be here." It's interesting that the National Council of Churches was actually very active in mobilizing white Christians to support the Voting Rights Act of 1965. After that, for some reason, energy for such things seemed to be on the wane. It seems that very nice Christians then figured, well, our work here is done now that African Americans are guaranteed the right to vote. Seriously. There is enormous evidence to the contrary. And as the first of the ACT is acknowledged, can we start by just acknowledging that? I'm going to cut my comments short here in the interest of time. I had a longer version for the earlier service, which will be printed out if you want to hear the dramatic conclusion. But for now, will you pray with me? Lord, we're conflicted because we want to be good Christians, and it makes us uncomfortable to think that there's more work to be done. It makes us feel uncomfortable to think that we may be living a lie, that maybe we've fooled ourselves in ways that are too deep for us to even detect. So awaken in us. Help us as a people, as a covenant people, to stand for kingdom values and to commit to making a new priority for justice in this world. We pray in the name of Christ, the Liberator. Amen. Let us stand as we sing.